Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. I'm so glad you tuned in. A happy Wednesday. Hope you're having a great week. So I have a question for you. Are you ready for it? Do you ever want to start over in a particular area of your life? Do you want to redo a do-over? Well, we're going to talk about what it means to hit the reset button. And you know we've done this if you listen often enough. We started doing reset shows about several years ago where we would pause and address a few different issues. And you'd get your journal, we'd play music, and I would speak on three different topics. And the most recent reset show I did on worrying about today, wondering about tomorrow, and I just drew a blank on the third W. What was it, Grace? Help me remember now. Waiting, when you're in the waiting season, exactly. But the thing is, it's so interesting, is we've had Nick Hall on the show a few times before, and God put on his heart a reset movement, and boy, is God working mightily through this man of God. And people are really realizing God can reset their lives. And maybe you feel like you've gone too far, you've blown it in a particular area. Well, you're going to be encouraged today that you actually can hit the reset button. And what does that mean? That God is ready. He's ready to help you. And Nick's on, and he'll get him on in just a minute. In the second hour, we're going to talk with a man who traveled to the Middle East to do mission work, only to be captured and imprisoned in Iran. His worst fears came true. And in that prison, he felt fear in his bones. Can you even imagine how scary that would be? But in that place of utter despair, God met him, and he learned something about fear and about faith that he's going to teach us today. Dan Bowman is his name, and he'll join us to talk about a fresh look at fear. So we've got two great hours. Bowman, I'm getting it wrong. I'm going to get it right next hour. You just hold me to it, all right? Two great hours ahead. So here's my question again. Where in your life do you need a reset? Let me tell you about my first hour guest, and we'll get him on the show. Nick Hall's a visionary behind Reset, a prayer to reset your life and a movement of people sharing the hope of Jesus. He's the founder and chief communicator for Pulse. His passion is to awaken culture to the reality of Jesus. He serves on the student advisory team for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and he's one of the four partner evangelists with Luis Palau. He and his wife Tiffany live in Minneapolis with their son Truett. He's on the road, otherwise we'd have him in studio today. And we're honored to have him back on the show, though. Nick, welcome.
Hey, Susie, man, I'm so excited to be back. Love the show. Love what you guys do and stand for. So thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, we are in this together, and we love what you're about, too, and how God is using you. It's an amazing thing to see. Well, as you know, Nick, we love to start out talking scripture. You chose James 5:17. Elijah was a human being, even as we were. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Is that the passage you chose?
That is.
Wow. Tell me about it.
Yeah, you know, I just love that passage. I love the challenge of obviously just the reminder that James gives us that Elijah, you know, he prayed, God, would you stop the rain, right? And God did. I mean, God answered his prayers, as it says, for a series of years. And then Elijah prayed again, God, would you bring the rain? And God opened up the heavens. And I think James in the passage, he's trying to encourage us, right? Elijah, he was a person just like us, you know, just like us, you know, and before that, it says the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. It availeth much, right? So something about like when we come and when we pray, it makes a difference. Our prayers matter to God and they change literally what's going to happen or what's going on around us. I mean, there's something that can even shift spiritually and even in circumstance as we pray and as we come to Jesus for a reset, as we come to him for new perspective, as we come to him, you know, with whatever situation we're facing. And I'm just encouraged by that. You know, sometimes I think we get this perspective that the people in scripture, we see them as these heroes, right? They're these people that, gosh, they seem untouchable. And yet, the reality is they're just like us. I mean, these are people that had fears and worries. These are people that had sin in their life. These are people that didn't do everything right, didn't say everything right. And yet God uses normal people just like you and me. And if you're listening, he can use you. And God, you know, he invites us to pray. He invites us to come to him and seek him and realize that he does hear, he does respond. And man, what an invitation, and just what a family to be a part of, right?
Indeed.
Just this amazing family of God.
And that's such a good word, because it's so easy. If we relegate them to hero status, it sort of separates us and almost absolves us from engaging our own faith. But I think it's probably true that most heroes don't know they're heroes. They don't know that they're being forged in that furnace, but they find faith in their own furnace of affliction. So if we understand they're human like us, but they have the power of the living God like we do, we suddenly think, wow, if they can do it, if they can engage their faith, I can engage my faith. And imagine that there's a God in heaven who not only invites us into his presence, but invites us to dialogue and participate with the greater kingdom story. How does that not just fire a person up, right?
I totally agree. I mean, and you think about whoever it is that you look at spiritually, you know, whether it's your pastor, whether it's a leader, whether it's, you know, some business leader that's just a man of God or woman of God, you know, or the biblical heroes. I mean, you look at these people and you ask just the honest question, what is the greatest asset that they have to be who God has made them to be? And the answer is, it's the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
It is the Spirit of God that is in them. And then we realize that is the same Spirit that lives in me. That's the same Spirit. That's the Spirit that raises the dead, that opens the eyes of the blind. It's the Spirit that gives boldness in place of fear. And it's the Spirit that can set captives free. And that's what we have. And so it's just this reminder of, man, this isn't about you, this isn't about me, but this is about Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's about the fact that he promised not to leave us alone. And as we read these stories and we hear about what God is doing through other people, it should inspire us to say, man, God, look what you can do. And you can use ordinary, unschooled people. And God, you can use me. And Lord, so I just want to be available and I want to give what I can. I want to do what I can. And just believing that, man, God can do anything. And it's just amazing. It's amazing to just be a part of it and realize, man, we all have that part to play. And it's just incredible because it's all about Jesus. Jesus, he changes everything.
He changes everything. Two things are coming to me as I'm listening to you, Nick. One is a Tozer quote, and it's my paraphrase, but he said, if it's true, and it is, that the same power that rose Jesus from the grave is alive in us, he said, then we should be some of the most amazing people in the world. I mean, truly, if that's true for us, how does it impact how we live? And the other thing is the passage of Scripture says he's given us these very great and precious promises. Why? So that we can participate in the divine nature of Christ. It's like he has set us up to live otherworldly life. So why do so many people who call themselves Christ followers live more earthbound than they do, promise connected?
Yeah, you know, I really think this comes back to this prayer and this whole theme as you've been sharing through your show. And as we've been going across the country, is that we need a reset. I mean, yeah. I really think that all of us, by our human nature, we default back to comfort. We default back to safety. We default back to things that we can control, right? And we think that that's actually where we're going to find our power, when the truth is, it's fool's gold. I mean, we are putting our trust in sinking sand as opposed to the rock, right? As opposed to the one who made the heavens and the earth, who put the stars in place, who knows the number of hairs on our head, who formed us in our mother's womb, right? And to realize, and again, it's just that reset moment. In fact, I've been putting in my phone, in my calendar, pray for a reset, you know, just like, where is it, God, in my life that I'm thinking the wrong way? I'm looking at things the wrong way. I'm seeing things through the eyes of the flesh, as opposed to seeing things as one who literally has the power of God. I mean, imagine, you know, when Jesus sent out the disciples, right, and he says, I'm commanding you to go out and cast out demons and heal the sick and proclaim the kingdom. I mean, that was power. I mean, they were being sent with authority and with power to go and do. And I mean, I think there's just this reality that we need to continually be reminded of and just say, Jesus, would you reset our thinking? Would you reset our priorities? Would you reset, you know, just our faith, wherever it is that we've started to put these rules or regulations, or even where we, I often find myself kind of tempering my faith expectations. You know, I'm like, I don't want to get my hopes up too high, and I don't want to pray something too big because I don't want to, you know, maybe this isn't, and maybe it'll embarrass myself. And it's like, come on, you know, like, this is the living God that is in us. And if we only could catch a hold of that, what would our lives look like? And I want to live with that power.
Indeed.
You know, I want to live with that abandonment to say, man, my life is not my own. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. And really, that's what this reset's about. It's, man, all of us have our thing. All of us have something. that, you know, we just every day, Jesus, reset me of this, reset my addiction, reset my attitude. Jesus, reset my relationship with my kids or with my boss. And just these things that can become stumbling blocks if we allow them. And yet it's just always this invitation from heaven to us that Jesus is offering us that real life, that real perspective, that real power. And ultimately, even as reset means, I love it. That's why I love the word. I mean, the word reset means to get the system working toward its created purpose. And so in the same way my phone, my computer, my car was made by Apple or General Motors or whoever to operate a certain way, God made us to work in a certain way. And just like we mess up those systems of technology, we mess up in our own lives, right? We put our trust in the wrong thing. We look at the wrong thing. We have the wrong thought. And that's where the cross comes in. That's where Jesus comes in and offering that reset to each and every person, no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, whether it's the first time you ever turned to Jesus or that you've been a Christian for 85 years, all of us need a reset. And Jesus is the reset, and Jesus changes everything. And so we're excited about what God is offering today.
You know, Nick, it just struck me as you're saying you set your phone to remind yourself to pray. Because when you think about, you know, the initial question, do you need a reset? The obvious thought for me goes to the person who knows they need a reset. Maybe they're drinking too much, eating too much, whatever it is too much, and they know that they're in excess. But we all, our wheel pulls left, and if we let it go, will take us into the ditch. So to dare to just take inventory on a daily basis, saying, Lord, you know, show me what in me. You know, I need a reset. That could interrupt a potential catastrophe in our lives, couldn't it? If we could say there's been a slight departure that we're not even paying attention to, but if we dare to take inventory and say, show me what in me, Lord, where do I need to reset my course? I mean, that could make or break part of our story, couldn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, I think of David, you know, just coming to God, Lord, search me and know me, test me, see my anxious thoughts, right? See if there's anything in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I mean, it's not the things that we know about, right, that are the biggest obstacles, right? I mean, we can all look and say, okay, these are big sins and big stumbling blocks. And obviously we need to come before the Lord and repent and ask for a reset and bring him these things. And for so many of us, it's the blind spots, mm-hmm. right? It's the things that are creeping up. It's that little thing that is building up in our lives. It's that root of bitterness. It's that attitude, right? It's that kind of fleeting thought that just becomes all of a sudden something that now this is, I'm taking action and I'm moving in this direction, right? It's just slight variation off course. And so that's where it is. I mean, that's this daily walk. It's this daily reminder. It's every day, take up your cross and follow me. And again, that's where, for me, I do need those reminders. I mean, I need to take inventory and I need to be reminded of it, that God, he's here right now and he wants to move in my life because I am prone to wander, right? Mm-hmm. The song says, right, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. I mean, I think all of us have that. I mean, even the Apostle Paul, when he says, what I want to do, I don't do, and what I don't want to do, I do. And it's just this nature that, man, is alive in us. And yet again, there's this invitation from God, from Jesus, and we can come to him with boldness and knowing that he wants to be with us. He wants to move through us. He wants to set us free, whatever we're going through. And it's just that discipline of, okay, God, before I go another step, I want to come to you because I know that of all of my needs, Jesus, you are my greatest need. In fact, I posted something on my Facebook page recently. It was a picture I saw and it said, you know, I need to do better. I need to get healthy. I need to make money. I need to, and all these things were crossed out. And then it just said, I need Jesus.
Amen.
You know, and it's kind of like the perspective really of, man, what is it that, If we really put first things first, you know, think of that. I mean, seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added unto you. I mean, there's something about, again, when we turn to Jesus, everything else finds its proper place. And it's amazing when somebody says, I'm so busy and I'm too busy for this quiet time, I'm too busy. And yet you find that person who prioritizes that relationship. Man, all of a sudden there's time for everything.
Yeah.
You know, and things are going better. I mean, so it really is. It's that foundation. It's that, again, God, I want to remember. I want to come back to, Lord, just what it is that you have me for and my unique original design. God, I don't want to miss it. I don't want my family to miss it. I don't want my thought life to deviate. You know, we need a reset, and each of us have it, and each of us can come to Jesus. The invitation is right here and right now.
You know, wow, such a good word. I worked in fitness for a lot of years before radio, and I got to tell you, there was this dynamic of people who would maybe join the health club but then never come and wonder why the benefits never kicked in, you know, because maybe they would come, you know, before Thanksgiving and then again in the spring or something. But once they would engage in a consistency, that's when they would notice traction. And that worked for a while, but because our bodies are so adaptable, and you do the consistent thing for a while, suddenly you plateau because you need a new normal. You need to engage on a new level. I think the same thing happens in faith. And I want to talk about a reset for the person who's been doing the same thing they've always been done and getting the same thing they've always gotten, so to speak. Because when we go through the motions of even our good Christian disciplines, and I am a proponent of time with the Lord and prayer. I love all that stuff. But if we go through the motions, and I think we start to disengage our heart. And when we disengage our heart, we disengage our faith. And then we wonder why we've lost some traction. So talk about what a reset would look like for the person who's a good Christian, who looks like they're doing all the good Christian things, but they've lost the sense of wonder, of awe, of their salvation, of the reality like you're talking about, the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives and what that means for us. Talk to that person, if you would, for a moment.
Yeah, you know, I really see this. I mean, I see it in my own life. I see it in my family, right? I mean, we really have two distinct audiences as we're thinking about reset. And as we describe this, I mean, we'll say reset's a prayer, first and foremost. It's foundational for every person. And then we say reset's a gathering where we're calling people to come together towards this historic and generation-defining moment. But, you know, as we're thinking about these audiences, there is the audience of people who literally, they're not religious at all, right? They have no relationship, no connection. And so for them, their reset is this is the first time, right? This is the, you know, Jesus came to seek and to save, and people are coming and they're realizing that Jesus is this beautiful Savior they can turn to. But there's so many of us, right? We have gone to church since we were kids, right? We know the song, we know the prayer, right? I went to a private school growing up where it was just the liturgy and the words and the repetition and the Lord's Prayer and the, you know, the Lord be with you and also with you and let us pray and that go in peace and serve the Lord and just kind of all of these things that you start to just, I'm becoming a robot, you know, like I'm not even thinking about what's going on. And even when I am, I mean, the truth is that just over time in our faith, especially, I think there's just a lot of things that creep in. And I think it's good for all of us, whether you're a ministry leader or whether you're just somebody that attends church. I think it's good for all of us to just come back to the basics, right? To come back to the joy of our salvation, because, you know, it loses its meaning,
mm-hmm.
right? And if you find yourself at that place where you're saying, you know what, I'm just not as in awe of the cross as I used to be. You know what, when I say the word Jesus, it doesn't evoke any emotion in my heart. You know, when I come to God's word, I don't come with any kind of anticipation. You know, when I go to church, I just kind of think it's just another service and I'm looking at my watch. You know, you say, what does a reset look like in that person's life? I mean, it literally is saying, Jesus, what do you want to do in my life? And I want to know you and I want to see you and I want to experience you. And so for me, like that literally is my foundational reset prayer for me personally. It's just, Jesus, reset my faith. Like wherever these habits, wherever these things have crept in that are not from you, and some of them are even good things, you know, but the truth is sometimes good is the obstacle to the best, you know, and I think so many of us, like, we just do things because that's the way it's always been done.
Yeah.
But we don't really ever go back to, okay, Jesus, what do you want us to do? You know, how is it that I should come before your word? How is it that I should, you know, if I'm praying the Lord's Prayer, how do I really just grasp onto the depth of the words that I'm saying and not just say them like I'm just saying, you know, I'm ordering a Happy Meal at McDonald's. You know, I mean, it's just, I'm coming before the God of heaven. He knows my name. He could torch me in a second, right? This is God. But again, we need a reset of that perspective. I mean, I think that's where Jesus is like, you know, you need to come with this faith like a child. And even when he says all this, like, let the children come to me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, and restore, right, when we pray this prayer of God, the joy of our salvation. I mean, it's just there's something about that innocence and the intimacy and the joy and the authenticity that, man, I think a lot of times we're jealous of. As those that have been Christians for a long time, we see somebody who's just coming to faith and they're so excited. And we're almost like, oh, man, I just wish I could go back there. Yeah. I wish I could feel that again. Well, the reality is you can.
You can.
Like, mm-hmm. invitation is here. Like, Jesus wants this to be your best year ever. He wants this to be your deepest moments ever. Like, your spiritual highlight reel shouldn't be just in your past. Right, everything that's happened in your past should give you boldness and confidence to say, man, the best is yet to come, and it's going to keep getting better until that climax moment when I'm standing before the throne of God. You know, but literally, God wants to move in our lives. And again, that's just a part of this. It's a part of this daily reset, this daily God, our expectations. Where is it that we're coming with these thoughts or whatever it is? And I think it's all of us. I think it's all of us have some things to be reset from. And then I've even been challenging people, where is it in your life? Where are there things that you're putting between you and other people coming to Jesus? Because you know, I think we all do this as religious people, right? We kind of say, you need to do this or look like this or act like this. And subconsciously, we're kind of putting barriers in between people coming to know the Lord, coming to Jesus and experiencing him for themselves. And so I'm like, hey, where is it in my life that there's something that needs to be reset between me and Jesus? And then where is it in my public life that I might be putting something in between others and Jesus? And I'm saying, hey, if you want to get to Jesus, you better change the way you dress. You better talk different. You better vote different. You better act different. And then I'll tell you about Jesus. But right now you're a mess. You know, as opposed to the heart of Jesus is that he's there, right? You think of the woman caught in adultery. All the religious people are pointing the finger at her. Jesus is kneeling down with her, right? And he's sitting next to the woman at the well. He's engaging these people. And so I'm just like, this is the moment. We have a divine opportunity for a reset in each of our lives, in our faith journey. And it can start right now.
Really can start right now. And that's such good news. And forgive me for making another fitness parallel, but I think there's so many spiritual laws in our physical health that I remember at one particular step class where this one woman attacked the step. I mean, she'd step on it hard and come on back and every move was huge. And another one would tiptoe up and tiptoe down. And wouldn't you know, that tiptoeer was, I was a manager of that group fitness department. She came to me and said, I come religiously and I've had no physical changes in my overall health, athletic health. And the word engagement came to me. I said, you got to engage. I've watched you step. I want you to attack that thing. And I just kind of challenged her just on form. And I feel like, again, Nick, the answer, I think, for those maybe going through the motions and going, nothing's changed. I pray, I read, I go to church, nothing's changed. Engagement. I mean, there's something about digging deep and going, I'm going to engage on a deeper level. I'm going to pray with a little bit more precision and power. I'm going to walk with a sense of expectancy. I'm going to love with a deeper passion. There's something about, I think in some ways you get out of it what you put into it. When it, you know, if we show up like consumers or even spectators, we're not going to see the kind of change that we want to see. What do you say?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, it's interesting. I obviously speak in front of a ton of, you know, students. I mean, we're going out with this reset message and we're inviting people to come together and we're pushing people towards Reset 2016 and this gathering on the National Mall and all these different things. And yet, like, students are coming up to me all the time and they're like, I just want to go all in. I want to do it. I want to go. What do I do? What do I do? You know, and it's interesting because, you know, when you talk to a student, it's a lot easier just to be like, hey, you got to do all these things. You got to go for it. You got to go for it. And we're kind of unreserved in our recommendation to do that because they're young and they will, right? Like they will, whatever we tell them to do, they will do, right? For good or for bad. They're very impressionable, you know, but when we start to get to be an adult and we're kind of like, oh, you know, don't ask me to do anything that's too major because my life is kind of set. You know, I don't really have any margin. I don't really have any boundaries. And I'm just like, you know what? And it's just nonsense.
Amen.
I mean, for each and every one of us, I mean, going all in, there is an invitation now. You know what? Set your alarm a little earlier. You know what? Consider a fast. You know what? Consider a Bible reading plan. Do something different. Go deeper. Go harder. Take this seriously.
Do it. Do it.
I mean, I've really been telling people, yeah, this is the time. I mean, again, Susie, we need that workout instructor to come out right now and charge you up, right?
Let's do this.
But, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I've been calling.
I got to jump, Nick. Sorry, I've got a hard break. We'll be right back. He goes before us. He's our guardian. Isn't that amazing? I'm Susie Larson. This is with The Promise, talking to Nick Hall about reset. Do you need a reset? I want to give Nick as much time as possible, but I do want to give you a chance to talk with Nick and to tell us, what area of your life do you need a reset? Maybe Nick and I can pray for you today. You can even be anonymous, but today is a brand new day. God's mercies are new every morning. You don't have to do what you've always done. You can do something new, something different. Today's a day God's inviting you to engage wholeheartedly, because you know what? His will for you is your best case scenario. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Nick, I hated to interrupt you with that hard break coming up, because you were on a, I just like wanted to put a pulpit in front of you, because you were just, that was awesome. But what we were talking about before the break was, especially, you know, you said when you talk to students, college students, and you talk about going all in, they're just there because they're mobile, they're ready. You talk to an adult, it's more tempered because they're like, I'm set in my ways. And I thought, how interesting, because maybe you need a reset if you're set in your ways. If everything else is crowded out Jesus, this might be a time for a radical reset. Why don't you pick up where you left off? Because I really think you're talking to somebody listening today who's been set in their ways, but they're totally underfaithed and underjoyed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just really think the time is now. I mean, that's just kind of a message
too.
We just are spreading all over and really believing it. You know, the time is now. God is doing something in our day. And if you're hearing this, I mean, you should know the time is now, just in the feeling in your heart, like that feeling, that longing, that pulling, that's the Holy Spirit. Like, that is God inviting you, saying, this is for you. I have more for you. And I know so many of us feel that, right? We go through the motions and we live our 9 to 5 and we, you know, just kind of think about retirement. And, you know, we think about kind of having the right house on the block and having our kids be happy. And we're just kind of going. And it's like, to some extent, you just get bored. You're just like, is this it? Like, is this what Jesus died for? Was this the life? And I just really believe that for each and every one of us, there is an invitation from heaven that Jesus offers a reset. It's a reset of perspective. It's a reset of priority. It's a reset of our time and our energy and our dreams. And Jesus is the answer, but we need to go after it now. Mm-hmm. I've been calling ministry leaders and friends, and it's interesting. You know, we're building towards this climax moment. I mean, we're really believing God for a historic gathering on the National Mall. We were just there. In fact, this weekend, we had 5 to 10,000 people at the Washington Monument and leaders from a ton of organizations. And literally all these streams are coming together saying the same thing. They're saying that we believe that God is preparing our nation for a spiritual awakening. And like, literally all of these movements are throwing in their hat saying, you know what? It's not about our thing. It's not about this name. It's not about this thing. We need a Jesus movement. And so reset's becoming this rallying cry. And it's just powerful. And
wow.
So as you're thinking about this, there's an invitation for you in this. And as I call these ministry leaders, I'll tell them, hey, I don't want you to take this call like this is just another call. And I don't want you to hear about this like this is just another event. And so in the same way, people listening to that, I don't want you to listen to this like this is just another show. This is just another hour-long segment. This is just another message. I've been excited before. I want you to hear this. Like, this could be the moment that where everything changes in your life. I really believe that, man, if we want to see the change that we need, it can't be business as usual. Well, Susie, I think you said it at the beginning of the show, right? If we keep doing what we've always done, we're going to keep getting what we've always got. And most of us aren't content with that, right?
Right.
We're saying, Jesus, we want more. And so it begins with that individual, personal prayer, personal intimacy with Jesus, you and him closing your door. I love Jesus' prayer an encouragement in Matthew 6. He says, close your door. Go to your Father who sees what is done in secret. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. He says, you know, don't pray with all these many words like the pagans. He says, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Right? It's just something about just this intimacy that Jesus is inviting you into right now.
Let's think about this for a minute. We've had Anne Graham Lotz on quite a number of times, and she, along with, of course, many leaders, feel like something is coming to America, and if there's ever a time for us to be praying, it is absolutely now. And she was explaining, you know, God's protection is when judgment comes, if something's coming, it's more about him not sending it, but backing off on his protection because we've pushed him out as a nation. We've thumbed our noses saying, we don't want you in all these, we don't want you in the public square. And so just if you consider for a moment the idea that if he's a gentleman and he's backing up going, you don't want me, I'm backing up. And so the furies of hell are being aimed at us. I mean, truly, you think about it. There, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard. So he's now looking for a remnant to pray because he bends towards mercy. And you think of that person who's doing what they've always done, getting what they've always gotten. And then they're hearing your voice and saying, I want to be a part of the kingdom story. I have lived my whole life for myself. And let's just say something is coming. Let's just say some of these leaders are right. Things could change on a dime for me today, and I could suddenly be engaged in a bigger way. I want you just to speak to that for a minute. I'm not talking about motivated by fear, but motivated by faith. What if you did understand the times suddenly? What if you understood the times enough to say, I've been wasting my time on all this stuff. I want to engage in the bigger story. Speak to that if you would.
You know, we're calling people saying, what do you have? How can you give? Where can you go? I mean, we're calling students. We're planning a 1,000 campus tour in January. Literally, kids are going to hop in a bunch of Honda Civics and go two by two and canvas the nation. I mean, This is like people at ministries are changing. Churches are saying, hey, we're going to have a reset fast. We're going to have a new series. And this is all building, again, towards July of 2016 on the National Mall. Like, we're believing. I mean, I was reading in the book of Ezra recently, and in Ezra 3, it says, the whole nation gathered together at the temple in Jerusalem. And it says this one word, it said, with one purpose, right? And it's just like this whole heart of like, what would it look like if we came together now? In fact, that's what we're calling this gathering is together, together 2016. We believe Jesus has called us together. We're saying, man, this is like a family gathering, right? It's just for the family. And just like all of our families have that awkward uncle, right? So this is every member of the family. What does it look like for us to come together? And we know that in Christ's family, everybody's invited, right? So, hey, you're invited, even if you're not a part. This is those near and far. You're invited to come in. You're invited to be a part of this. And so this is just this is a moment. This is a moment for all of us to say, okay, what can I do? How can we go deeper, go harder, see God do something? And I encourage people, hop online, reset2016.com. You can watch this killer video these students and young guys made. And they were pulling all-nighters, working towards it, literally praying day and night about this, like just asking God to birth this. And then all these groups are coming together. Literally, there's a ton of areas for people to plug in and use your voice. And again, it's something about all of us. I love to think just, man, my voice isn't loud enough. And I'm loud, don't get me wrong, but like I'm not loud enough. I can't do it enough. But what if we all raised our voices together? What if we all put our resources, our influence together, what would it look like? I mean, and you start to see that God is preparing the way for something that literally people have been praying for decades.
That's right.
I mean, ministries and leaders and churches and moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas and students all linking arms saying, Jesus, you are what we need. And let's just be honest about that. Like, what we need isn't new policy, and what we need isn't new candidates. And what we need isn't just this or that. We need a Jesus movement.
Amen, brother. Amen.
And that's what we're going for.
And the fact that all these ministries are coming together, I mean, there was a day where that territorialism, I think it always flies in the face of a kingdom mentality, but people could get away with it and still maybe build their own kind of seemingly thriving ministry. But we are in such a desperate day, there's no time for that. So the very fact that all these ministries are coming together because they're united in purpose, that we need Jesus, our country desperately needs Jesus. Then you're seeing God command a blessing, right?
It's incredible. I just have one example of this, okay? Just one crazy story. So I recently, we were going after this, and all of a sudden we're thinking, okay, we're going to launch this thing on the mall. And then we want to go out and literally sound the call. And like, we're like, hey, what would it look like if we could get in front of all these major cities and have all these great bands? And then out of nowhere, this group calls us and says, hey, we're putting on this tour, and it's going to have Hillsong United and Jesus Culture and Carrie Job and Passion, like literally like every big worship band. They're like, hey, we want you to come and speak, and we'd like to have Reset be the message on how to do this thing. Right. And we're like, what? Like, this is insane. Like, just insane. And this is all happening like in July and August. It's just insane. And then part of it was we needed to raise some funds to go out and do this. Right. So I'm kind of like praying about this. This is all within like 4 hours. I pick up my phone. And I call a buddy. I'm like, hey, I need you to pray with me about this thing. I don't know if this is the Lord. It sure seems like it. I'm super excited. But we need to see God provide some resources to see this happen. And this guy says to me on the phone, he says, Nick, this is so bizarre that you're calling me right now. He says, my wife and I just last week decided that this year God was calling us to flip our tithing. And instead of to give 10 and live on 90, we're giving 90 and going to live on 10. And we've been asking God, God, what are we supposed to get involved in? And literally for them, like that 90-10, I mean, these people aren't like loaded. You know, it's not this crazy whatever. But for them, that 90-10 was the exact dollar amount that we needed.
Wow.
To go out and do this tour. You know, you see like God just lining these things up in a way that you're just like, okay, God, you're moving. And so people need to have hope and there's excitement. I mean, this is like, man, I need to be a part of this.
Indeed.
And you do. You do. Jesus, it wants to use you. He's inviting us. This is all of us linking arms together. And I'm just excited. You know, I'm excited, obviously. And Susie, I tell you, we get on here, and I think we could fire each other up for days.
I do too. I've got the holy goosebumps head to toe, so I'm loving it. Christine is checking in from Duluth, and she's got a comment for you. Christine, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. I just kind of wanted to go back a little bit when you were talking about, you know, having this passion and resetting our priorities to God. And I know, I guess I want to ask what you're talking about. I think sometimes, and I know this is not what you're doing, but I think there's this overall sense in the Christian community that gets misconstrued that as emotionalism. Like, we have to have this, like, there's even that song, I don't want to go another day with this all-consuming passion inside of me. And a lot of times, it's just not reality. If you look at the day-to-day is mundane. I'm thinking about the mom who has to change diapers and, you know, she hears all these wonderful pump me up messages, and then she goes home and she's changing diapers and she's washing dishes. But God is in the everyday, like mundane things too. So I think we hear these messages and we think, oh, I have to have this passion that translates into emotionalism. And I know that's not what you're saying. So how do you differentiate those two things? Because I think it's something that's coming across to people. And it's just like they want to be pumped up with emotions, and that's not really faith. It's how do we find God in the very midst of those things? Because life is like that.
Christine,
it's not always going to be a passion.
Great question. Great. Yeah, we'll speak to that for sure. And let me just say, and I'll let you speak to this in a minute here, but I would say for the person at home doing diapers, rather than going through the motions doing the diapers, that she would pray her guts out for the people that are out there on the front lines like Nick, saying, God, protect them, bless them, make a way, and bring many to salvation. That's the engagement thing that I was talking about. Some are going to engage on a deeper level with their finances, with their prayers. Some are going to go. Some are going to stay in the marketplace and influence Christ with their stewardship of their job. But I just feel like it's a soul engagement where you live, and then you follow Jesus and do what he says. What do you say, Nick?
Yeah, I think there's so many practical ways. And I love the question and I love the heart, Christine. And so thank you for, thanks for asking. I mean, my wife and I, we have a little toddler at home. And so I'm changing a lot of diapers, you know, and my wife as well. And it really is, it's in the mundane that, I mean, what does it look like when the mundane becomes worship? You know, what does it look like when there's intimacy in the midst of my routine? What does it look like when, like, literally I'm talking to God every moment of every day? I'm interceding on behalf of the nations. And even looking at my lifestyle, you know, because, I mean, a lot of us, we all can make changes. We all can make changes. I love to even ask in my own family, okay, God, like, we want to be all in. And I want to feel this. And so is there something, God, you're calling me to give up or live differently? Okay, we're not going to eat out for a while, or we're going to do this. And we're going to give, or we're not going to give gifts this Christmas. We're going to point it all in this direction. Just little things that add up to, you know, my heart is in, you know, 'cause that's the whole thing of this is like my, where my treasure is, there my heart is. And when you think about this, like my treasure, that's my time, that's my energy, that's whatever resources God has entrusted to me. I think of changing those diapers and raising the kids. I mean, interceding for your kids. I mean, my mom, she would say she's led 3 people to the Lord in her life. Huh. And it's my sister, my brother, and I. Hmm. And at one point, I said to my mom, I said, you know, Mom, I mean, you know, I was kind of, you know, looking at Billy Graham, and I'm like, I want to do this. I'm like, Mom, do you think Billy Graham's just going to have the biggest mansion in heaven? It's going to be awesome. He's going to have, like, wings going out every side. And, you know, and I'm just this kind of teenager. And my mom looks at me in a way that only moms can, right? And she says, you know, Nick, I'm sure Billy Graham will have a, you know, a good size, you know, house in heaven. But she said, Nick, there's probably some little old lady somewhere that nobody knows her name, but she's just been interceding her whole life. And she's probably going to have a bigger mansion in heaven than Billy Graham, you know, and it's just kind of like in God's kingdom, it's different.
Yeah.
You know,
is.
This isn't about emotion and this isn't about, okay, are you here or there? This is about, no, there's a family. We are a family, and families need to stick together. And we need to realize that we are in the midst of a battle and a war, and all of us have a part to play. I mean, I love how John Piper used to talk about wartime Christianity. And he used to talk about, you know, even in World War II, literally everybody was playing a part. I mean, everybody was sacrificing something. Everybody was going and, you know, making ammunitions or going and helping with the nursing area or going and doing this. And it's just like the whole culture shifted to support the troops, you know, and I really think for us, like there needs to be that reality of, okay, God, you're on the move. And what does that mean for me and my family? You know, how can we tangibly get involved? I have some friends that they'll have one night every week where they'll just eat like rice and beans, you know, and they'll take the difference in money and give it away. But the reason for them is every night that they want to realize that for the majority of the world, this is how they eat. And so for our family, we want to pray for those that have less than we do. And we want to realize how much we have. Mm,
that's amazing.
I mean, I think there's little things that add up.
Yeah.
It's a real heart change.
The issue really is engagement or disengagement. Engagement where you live or disengagement. You know, when you discern the times, and you got to know that his will for you in one area doesn't contradict his will for you in another area. So whatever it is he's calling you to do, I mean, whatever it is, he equips you with his power, and then you'll experience something of him that you wouldn't as you're doing things in your own strength. You know, it's amazing to me, Nick, is that you come off this big reset kickoff in D.C., and you say there was something like 5,000 to 10,000 people there, and that's your kickoff? I mean, that's your setup? You're teeing up this big event that you're prepping for?
Yeah, it was incredible.
Amazing.
It was incredible. And again, I just encourage people, reset2016.com and then social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, stay tuned. But, you know, I want people to think about this. You're watching the news right now and you're seeing, okay, Hillary is having this major speech for her campaign, and you're seeing Jeb Bush has now announced his campaign, and Marco Rubio and Rand Paul and, you know, all these just men and women are announcing their campaign, and they're launching it out, and they're going to blitz the nation for the next year. And for the next year, all of us are going to hear an onslaught of how this person can solve the issue, and then that's going to be matched with a ton of criticism that this person can't, you know, meet the issues of our day. And in the midst of this, there's a different campaign happening. There's a different rallying cry happening. There is a rally towards something where the only agenda is Jesus.
Hmm.
And just in the same way of a campaign, but not one candidate. This is literally thousands of people blitzing the nation over the coming 12 months, saturating the country, wanting to wave the flag of hope and say, you know what, Jesus, he offers life, and Jesus changes everything, and we can turn to him. In fact, this launch event, we just started to say this, Jesus changes everything. We say, we want you to hashtag Jesus changes everything. And it trended number 3 nationally on Twitter. And so literally, like, people all around the country and then around the world were picking this up and spreading it out. And I even saw Mark Batterson's church over the weekend picked it up, and they changed their content, and all their stuff was saying Jesus changes everything. And so, like, there's a movement happening. And again, this is all pushing towards and building towards a gathering on the Mall. And, you know, for that mom in Duluth that called in, and for people, I challenge you, plan now for a family trip to D.C. next summer. And we're asking people from all across the nation to come together. I believe, man, I want my kids there. I want my friends there. I want my family there. I believe that there's something about us coming together. You read in the Old Testament, this is the whole family coming together and standing at the temple. This is literally, we're gathering together because we need Jesus. And we're praying for a generation-defining moment, literally, that God would plant dreams and put his call on, and that as we lift up our voices together, as we're praying for this reset, that something is going to change and something's going to shift. It's so much bigger than you know, the first Tuesday in November when we vote in whoever that is. No, what we need is a Jesus movement. What we need is the Spirit of God to pour out over our land, and that people from all backgrounds, you know, whatever your background, however you vote, whatever your orientation, right, that every person would have the chance to hear about this hope that Jesus offers, and that people could genuinely, hey, you know what? Jesus wants to hear your voice. He loves you. And man, if you turn to Jesus, everything can change. He makes all things new.
He makes all things new. I got to tell you, my brother-in-law, he has for a long time been, I want to get it right, but something like the assistant fire chief of the city of St. Paul. So kind of a big deal fireman. And then he got some kind of promotion, and he's something like, I'm going to get it wrong, but like the deputy state fire marshal. And he was sitting two seats away from me at Unite. And I hope this isn't a spoiler warning. I mean, I hope I'm not giving something away, but you're up there on stage. I mean, how many people showed up to Unite in the Twin Cities? Would you say?
There's like 11,000.
Yeah.
Packed up in Mariucci. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Carrie Job and Francis Chan. And I mean, just amazing night. But you're up there and you have this garbage can and you're holding up all these pieces of paper of people who had written things down that they need a reset in. And then you pull out the red gas can. And I watched his temples flex and his cheeks sweat. and he's kind of twitching in his chair. And I'm like, you okay over there, Jim? You okay over there? And then you dump, and you're dumping, and people are like, light it! And he seriously, I thought, he's going to stand up here in a minute. And then I won't give the rest of it away, but it took him about 10 minutes to settle back down after that. It was kind of funny,
That's
I just
awesome.
Got to say, yeah. But I want to ask you, what was some of the response from that amazing night of us getting together? I mean, you had different pastors, local pastors getting up, having us pray for different parts of government and for church and family. I mean, it was a spectacular night, and it was so organized. I didn't feel like there was a wasted minute. I felt like we came together as God's people, interceding for these different avenues of life, and then worshiping together, and then getting a reset from Francis Chan, who I think just kicked our butts, if I can just say that. But what was the response from it all?
Oh, man, it was incredible. You know, that night we actually had like 1,100 people respond to the gospel at this prayer event, right? We had over 500 churches that were coming together, linking arms together. And there's just, I mean, I just see this. I mean, there is an unprecedented move of God that we are in the midst of right now. And it's a movement towards unity. It's an urgency to come together. You know, out of that gathering has now birthed more prayer movements that are spreading throughout the Twin Cities and even cities across the country. Like that event was actually streamed in. There was thousands of people across the nation and even around the world that were streaming in. And now it's launching next year. We're going to have like simulcast events all over the nation. Like literally, because God is just birthing and multiplying and just people are dreaming and people are just saying, God, you know, we need this year. And that's where it's like all of us, gosh, how do I take this home, right? How does this happen in my city with my family? And I think that's where the rubber meets the road. But, man, we're seeing just real multiplication. And even the pastors that were there, they're continuing to meet, continuing to pray for each other. There's reconciliation that took place that night of ministries and churches that, you know, they haven't been talking or they haven't been on good terms. And all of a sudden they're together in one room praying and the Spirit of God just starts bringing conviction.
Wow.
And it's a powerful thing. We had, I think, 400 of the Twin Cities worship leaders that came together that day just to pray together. And Carrie Job was kind of pouring into them. And even from that, they're doing regular united worship gatherings throughout the Twin Cities where different leaders are leading in different churches. And so it's just real, like this is just the body coming together and it all flowing into just this mission and urgency for, man, we need to lift up Jesus. We need to keep the main thing the main thing. And we're all on the same team. And so, man, it's just, it's beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful when the body just starts coming together. And I believe that, you know, Jesus' prayer in John 17, you know, he prays that we'd be one. He prays, and it's a crazy prayer. He prays that we would be one, and he says, just as, Father, you are in me and I am in you, you think about, like, how close was the father and the son, right? Like, how tight are they? Like, that's a pretty close relationship, you know, coexisted for all eternity. You know each other pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, and Jesus' prayer is, I pray that they would be one like that, which is crazy. Like, we can't even get along with the people in our Bible study. Like, I get annoyed by that lady when she prays, like, you know, whatever it is. And yet Jesus' prayer for us is that we'd be that kind of one. And then he says, so that the world might believe. In other words, there's something about when we come together that is a declaration to the world that Jesus is the Messiah. And it doesn't even necessarily make sense, because we think, okay, we should have a bigger outreach or bigger apologetics or whatever. But, you know, according to Jesus, he's like, you know, when this happens, then the world's going to see and people are going to believe. And I just know that, man, if Jesus prayed it, it can happen. You know, like, he wasn't praying it thinking this is impossible. And so I really do see that there's a movement at hand. And, you know, we believe, man. We're praying and believing the third great awakening, you know, that God is moving and stirring. And we're talking even the meetings we just had about praying for a modern-day student volunteer movement. And, you know, just what can happen. I mean, literally, with technology and the way that people are coming together, nothing is impossible right now.
Nothing is impossible. And we can watch the news and get depressed all day long, or we can listen to you and realize good news is still the good news, and God is on the move, and he's working. And I don't want to miss it. I hope you don't want to miss what God's doing in our midst either. Having Nick Hall here today. We just have about, I don't know, 40 seconds left before we have to tune out here for this little break. But, Nick, would you pray for that person listening today who's been disengaged, and that they would be re-engaged? Would you pray?
Yeah. Jesus, we just come before you, and Lord, we pray for a reset right now in our lives, in our families, in our faith. Jesus, thank you that you're the author and perfecter of faith. So we come to you, Lord, because you are where our hope is found, and you do change everything. So right now, God, I pray freedom and power. I pray for that reset right now, God. I pray that you would rally people together to realize that this invitation is for them. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Nick, we appreciate you so very much, and I can't thank you enough for the time. I know you're a busy guy. We'll be praying for you in the days ahead.
All right, Susie. Talk to you soon.
God bless you, sir. In a moment, hour two, I'll be talking to Dan Bauman about his amazing imprisonment in Iran and how he tackled fear, found faith, and boy, does he have a story to tell. Don't go away. Hour two is up next.